With that, I suppose we can start our third webinar. The first caller is John. And both John and Alan are on the line and unmuted. Do you want to just start up?
Hello.
Hi, John.
Yes, sir.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks for calling in. You're calling from, was it Florida?
Yes, Naples,
Georgia?
Florida.
Okay, all right. So it's pretty late for you right now.
Yeah, a little late. Not a problem.
Well, if you wouldn't mind, just start off by talking a little bit about what your symptoms are, what your symptoms have been, how long you've had your symptoms for, et cetera.
Sure.
For about a minute or so.
Okay. I've had symptoms on and off looking back now that I've read and studied and done Unlearn Your Pain and some other things. But the main symptoms started about a year and a half ago. Started getting really bad pain in my feet and my heels, and then it kind of worked up to my leg, and then basically when I sat down, kind of in my where my hips hit my chair, and within a month maybe, I got to where I couldn't even sit. Went through steroid injections, medicines, physical therapy, ended up having spine surgery probably 6 months into it because there was nothing else to do that I could find, and got a laminectomy, got zero relief, and then found out about TMS maybe a month or two later during my recovery from surgery, and started working the program and have had a lot of success, but still have chronic pain. Every time I sit, I have pain. So it's one of those things. It's never gone, and I feel like I know a lot of the issues and know a lot of the things, but I still deal with pain in my kind of sciatic nerve on my right side and when I sit every day.
Okay. And what about with regard to anxiety?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Absolutely. I have anxiety right now for this call, and I'm very...
You have anxiety right now as we're talking?
Yeah, my heart's beating, my head's kind of a little... It just feels light and, you know, just nervous to perform on the call and up to the standards that I want to, and that it'll help me and other people and, you know, all the typical TMS worry patterns.
So how would you, if you could quantify your anxiety, what would you say it was like right now on a 1 through 10 scale?
Probably like a 6 or 7.
Okay.
Pretty high.
And where do you feel the anxiety?
In my stomach, in my chest, kind of can feel my heartbeat, and kind of in my head. It just feels like a kind of a sense of awareness.
I want you to see if you could bring your attention to the physical sensation of your chest and your stomach. Oftentimes what happens is we generate a feeling, a sensation of anxiety, and we have a tendency to just kind of power through and keep focusing on other things, and this sensation, the physical sensation of anxiety, gets neglected. So I want you just to see if you could take maybe 30 seconds or so and just sit with this feeling of anxiety. And could you describe it for me?
Sure.
Okay.
Just
take a moment or two and just sit with this feeling and see if you could just kind of report what you experience, what physical sensations you're feeling in your chest and your stomach. Is it a tightness? Is it narrow? Is it more widespread? Is it hot? Is it cold?
It's in my chest. It's kind of tightness.
Okay.
And it's kind of the temperature. I mean, it kind of feels like it goes like, kind of like it's almost swooshing or something, like up and down. It's not hot or cold. It's just kind of it's like you can feel the air more. It's hard to explain.
Okay, so you're really aware of what this physical sensation of anxiety that you feel right now in your chest. Would you say that this is a common feeling that you have? Is it there throughout a lot of the day?
Yes.
And when did this anxiety start? When were you first aware of it?
In life or tonight?
In life.
Yeah, sorry. Childhood. I mean, I was a very anxious kid. Had a lot of stomach issues and getting sick on the way to school and missing school for stomach issues. And so, I mean, really all the way back to when I was, you know, 8, 9 years old.
Was there any instance or a particular time when you found yourself feeling really anxious, like a story or an incident from when you were a kid?
Daily. You know, I don't know how to go in there without telling everything, but...
Go ahead.
My mom was, you know, is an alcoholic and been married about, I don't know, 5 or 6 times, and, you know, don't know my biological father, and then obviously having several come in and out, and it just was always stress. I mean, every day my mom was off the ringer. I mean, every single day was a disaster, and something was happening, and it was money, and it was this, and we weren't behaving well. And
well, hold on a second. What's happening to your anxiety as you're talking right now?
It's getting worse.
Is it? Okay, I want you. So one of the things I notice is, as you're talking, you have a tendency to really emphasize what you're saying, and what I hear in your voice is your voice seems to be speeding up a little bit. There seems to be a focus on what you're saying or conveying what you're saying across, and I'm wondering if, you know, as you're talking and as you're explaining what's going on, if you're aware, if you're attending to the anxiety that you're feeling.
No, I think I know that I definitely talk faster and faster, and if I'm nervous, whether it's something at work or I'm in sales and it's getting closer to a sale or training people, I talk faster and faster. And
okay, hold on. Stop again. I want you to check in. I want you to see if you can just really attend to this physical sensation of anxiety that you feel. And I want you to think of it like one of the analogies I use is I think of like a baby in the other room, that if there's a baby that's crying, you don't just neglect the baby. You don't just let it cry. What you do is you go over, you attend to the baby, and you soothe it and help bring it down a little bit. And I want you to look at your anxiety right now the same way, because what I hear is as you're talking, there's a rise in anxiety, but that your internal state is being ignored. It's being neglected, and there seems to be a prioritizing of the words you're saying or getting across what you're trying to articulate or even having me understand it. But it seems like the actual internal feeling or sensation or anxiety is getting ignored when that happens. So I want you just to take about 30 seconds or so right now and really see if you could recognize, and even soothe or try to bring down that internal state. I don't want you to think about, you know, if you're doing a good job right now or the number of people listening, or let all of that fall secondary to just checking in, seeing if you could recognize the physical sensation of the anxiety and just taking a couple deep breaths and calming it down a little bit. And I don't want you to try too hard or put too much pressure on yourself. But just see if you can feel the breath coming in and out. What do you notice right now?
Well, the whole time you were talking, I just was breathing slow and trying to tune in, and it definitely calmed. I mean, it did calm a little bit in my inside. I mean,
Good.
Those rushing feelings slowed down. I mean, I don't know.
Good. All right. So this is something that we want to help you get into a habit of on a regular basis. I think what happens is on the inside, you start to really speed up. And if that goes unchecked, then the anxiety is just going to get worse, and it could spill into pain. So one of the things that we want to do is just help you check in when it isn't that bad and bring it back down, right? So if it's maybe a 3 or 4 on the anxiety scale, if you just keep talking or keep plowing ahead, then it becomes a 5 or a 6. And then if you keep plowing ahead, it can spill over into pain or other symptoms. But if you're able to check in and just bring it down, continuously, what you're able to do is prevent it from escalating. Right? But I want you to continue on telling me what you were telling me, what you were talking about, your childhood and some of the things that you were exposed to. Because one of the things we want you to do, we don't want you to just stop everything you're doing and spend your whole day checking in. But we want you to increase your capacity to recognize when your anxiety is getting away from you.
Sure.
And to bring your attention to it and slow it down. All right, so go on.
Okay, so when I was six, my mom got remarried and to who I call my father, and he had legally adopted me and my brother and sister when we were 10, when I was 10. And then they got divorced when I was 12, which really threw me into another spin of rejection, another father lost, and really was the hardest part of my life, I think, in terms of moving forward and that feeling of...
Hold on. I want you to stop again. What's going on right now as you're talking?
I'm getting all those feelings back.
Good. All right. So you see how quick it is? You were able to bring it down. You were able to slow it down. And you returned to what you were talking about. It was maybe 10 or 15 seconds, and already it started rushing back. So I just want you to stop. I just want you to check in. See if you can bring it back down again. Right? So that analogy I used, it's like you're checking on the baby. Right? The baby started crying. Instead of ignoring it or just letting it cry, you're attending to it. You're acknowledging it. You're soothing it. You can put your hand on your chest if you want. They've actually found that when you put your hand on your chest, they've done fMRI studies and found that it actually gives people that same sensation that they get when they're being hugged. Right? So that's one way that you could calm yourself down, calm your internal state down. Just put your hand on your chest and see if you could slow it down, slow everything down, slow yourself down.
Yes.
Good. All right. And so when you feel like you've grounded yourself a little, then just continue.
Okay. So, that was my teenage years, and then, they just continued to go through all the low self-esteem and mother continuing to get a little crazier as she drank, and very verbal abusive, physically abusive at times, and just wanting to get out of there. I mean, childhood to me was a disaster and terrible, and I just don't like to even think about
it.
Hold on,
I want you to stop. I want you to stop again and just check in. What you're talking about is going to bring up, obviously, some feelings of anxiety and other emotions, and just... Did you notice that as you were talking, your anxiety started to rise again?
Yeah, first little bit it didn't, and then I totally noticed it did.
Good. Right, so one of the things that I get from what you were telling me about your childhood is that it seemed like your emotions or what you were feeling wasn't really attended to or was neglected to some degree.
Yeah. For sure.
Did you feel like your emotions or your feelings or just what you felt like you needed was attended to?
No. I mean, I was always taking care of my sister and my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So the feelings, my feelings were just whatever they were. I was a very emotional kid, just kind of all over the place looking for something.
Uh-huh. So you were an emotional kid, and how did your mom respond when you needed to have your emotional needs met?
She told me to, be quiet and stop crying and stop, that I was being a baby, and that I needed to make good grades, do the right thing, do my chores, and
your mom told you that?
Yeah, push through.
It's interesting because we're talking about this tendency to neglect your own self, to neglect your own internal state. And it seems to me that you're treating your own self in the way that your mom was treating you. I mean, even in the words that you choose, you need to push through. That's exactly what's going on. So as you go throughout the day, as you go throughout this conversation, there are certain feelings that come up. And when feelings come up, it can cause a rise in anxiety. And when that rise in anxiety comes up, instead of attending to it, like you needed your mom to do, you just push through, or you're powering through, and then you're not attending and saying, okay, all right, I'm feeling a little anxiety, I need to just check in, slow it down, and attend to myself. There's this pattern of self-neglect. If you think of yourself at that age, what do you think you needed? What do you think that kid needed? You know, you said you were an emotional kid.
Just needed to be loved. Just wanted to be told I was good enough, and, you know, I just wanted affection and acceptance and unconditional love, you know.
What are you feeling right now as you talk about that?
Anxiety and sadness.
Okay, yeah. Oftentimes anxiety is just a defense mechanism that kind of cocoons the feeling. See if you could focus on the sadness. I think what you're talking about right now is you're feeling sadness about the fact that you wanted this attention, or you wanted this emotional validation or recognition, and you didn't get it. It makes sense that you would be sad. And I think that maybe one of the things that you do now is because you were taught growing up that your emotions don't matter, right? So if you were sad or you were crying, instead of attending to your emotional needs and or comforting you or asking you what was wrong or letting you know that it was going to be okay, it sounds like your mom may have given you the message, these emotions aren't okay, or you need to push through. So now when emotions come up, it seems like instead of attending to them, you'll just push through or elicit defense mechanisms to keep them at bay. Because I heard sadness in your voice when you were saying that, when you were talking about what that little kid wanted.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sad all the time. I'm just a very happy, outgoing person, but I'm can cry pretty much daily watching TV or anything else. Just,
yeah.
I don't know.
What's going on with your anxiety right now? What would you say is the level of anxiety you feel?
Probably a 6 or 7.
Okay, so it's still pretty high.
Yeah, I was doing better until I started thinking about my mom, talking about it here just in the last few seconds. It was definitely down when I was breathing more.
Mm-hmm.
And checking in.
Mm-hmm. So it definitely sounds like talking about your mom brought up some emotions.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a little lower, honestly. It's probably more like a 4 or 5. I mean, it's...
Because one of the things I noticed is that you do sound a little slowed down. It doesn't sound like you're talking as quickly or abruptly as you were.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if one of the things that was happening is you were getting close to an emotion. You know, it seemed to me like I heard a certain degree of sadness in your voice when you were talking about what that little kid wanted. And I'm wondering if feelings of sadness, if you learned at an early age that sadness isn't acceptable, that unconsciously you mobilize anxiety to keep it at bay, to keep it from overwhelming you.
Yeah, I mean, that could be. It seems like I'm either fighting sadness or anxiety or anger, you know, kind of all the time. It's one of the three.
Yeah. It definitely sounds like you're suffering a lot.
Yeah.
You're feeling pain or anxiety or really struggling against an emotion, but that you're spending a lot of time just struggling.
Yeah, my brain's always running, so it causes anxiety, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm...
Does it bring up any emotion when you think about how much you've been suffering? Do you think about that?
I mean, it makes me sad, and it makes me mad, and it makes, you know, I mean, it's...
Well, what are you feeling right now? I mean, I think you're telling me these emotions intellectually, but what do you feel right now when you think about what you've been going through? I mean, we've talked before, and you've told me just about, it isn't just the pain, but the anxiety and the relentlessness of how quickly your mind goes, and how your mind just goes to thought after thought and worry after worry to the point where it's very hard for you to feel safe.
I can never stop. Like, I just can't. Yeah. I'm never comfortable. I'm always worried about the next thing. I've just been worrying since I was a freaking kid. I mean, I'm just constant worry, just all every day, every worrying when I go to school if I'm going to get beat up or girls going to like me or friends who think I'm popular, and if it was at home, it was if I was going to have to get in trouble or get yelled at or get hit or take care of my family or just things that a kid shouldn't have to take care of. And now as an adult, it's my relationship, it's my work, it's my career, it's my friends, it's where I live, what I drive, what I wear. I mean, it's just a never-ending cycle of, I don't know.
Well, it just sounds like it's incessant. It's unending.
It's not, yeah, there you go. It's unending. I don't sleep.
It actually brings up a feeling of sadness in me to hear you talk about that, just because you're suffering so greatly. And I mean, when you think of this, when you were a kid and you were, you know, a bright kid and you had all this potential, and if you think of this kid who grew up in how much you've been suffering, I mean, do you have any feelings about your own suffering, other than just from an intellectual perspective? But what do you feel about the fact that you've been going through this so nonstop, and to the point where it may be hard for you to even see an end to it?
It's sad. I mean,
Do you feel sad right now?
I don't know. Honestly, I think I cry all the time. Especially when I talk about this stuff, and I feel like, being honest, my anxiety, just to being on the call and whatever, is like so high that it just is. I'm not even feeling that sadness. I'm not even letting it be able to come out. Like,
right,
I worry.
Right.
I worry so much about what other people think that I'm even worried about this call. You know, like, it just.
So it definitely sounds like right now you're aware of, it's almost like you're watching yourself from a third-person perspective, like, how is this coming off? Am I making myself too vulnerable? Are people going to judge me?
Right.
That does sound exhausting.
It is. It's just been a long, long week and long day.
Was it a long day because you were anticipating this?
No, just work and
independent of that. Okay.
Yeah. So no, just I don't know.
John, would you say that this is it's very common for you to be very concerned about what other people are thinking and how other people are looking at you?
Yes, all day, every day.
Jeez. So that's another thing that it seems like it's you are just haunted by. You know, one of the things we were talking about earlier is the fact that you have a tendency to prioritize the words that you're saying over your own internal state. But what you're talking about now is you're even prioritizing other people's opinion or feelings of you over your own.
Yeah, I'm unfortunately, that's probably what's happening, and that's my whole life.
Can you give me an example of prioritizing X, Y, or Z over your own internal state? I mean, it seems like right now what's going on is you're suffering. You're in like a 6 or 7 out of 10 anxiety, and one of the reasons is because there's this part of your mind that's saying what all these people think of you or how you're coming off is more important than you, is more important than feeling okay right now. That you're giving your own self the message, not consciously, but you're sub-communicating to yourself. You feeling okay isn't as important as these other people, you know, thinking you're smart or thinking you're articulate or thinking highly of you.
Thinking I'm taking too much time or thinking, you know.
Right, Right. I mean, it's no wonder that your body is generating so many symptoms. It's almost like your own needs are at the end of the line. You know what these people that are just random faces across the country that you've never even met before, their opinion of you is actually getting more importance placed on it than you feeling okay right now.
Yeah,
I mean, I think your body is rebelling against the fact that you're not getting any sense of priority from your own self, right? So you could be driving to work and maybe you're running a little bit late and you're feeling anxiety. Am I going to get late? Are they going to be mad at me? Am I going to disappoint them? Is that something you've experienced?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm never late. I'm always early because I don't want to be late. And everything I've ever done. I mean, that's, I don't know.
It's almost like you're just avoiding other people looking at you negatively or being mad at you, or doing everything that you want to be accepted. Yeah. How do you feel about the fact that your own emotional state, your own equilibrium right now, that feeling okay in the moment is actually getting, having less importance placed on it than what these other people think of you? Do you have any emotion about that, or are you indifferent?
I mean, I'm kind of indifferent. I mean, it makes me mad, honestly, but...
Does it?
Yeah, it pisses me off.
Tell me about the anger. That's new. I haven't heard you say that before. What's the anger about?
I said I just don't look after myself. I hate trying to be perfect, and I hate trying to, my whole life I've tried to, I work out, I eat perfect, I go to the right school, I get the right job, I get the right girlfriend, I volunteer. It's just never ending. The pressure on myself is so freaking hard, and it's just annoying that I'm on here and have this opportunity and to talk to you, and, you know, I'm so worried about it that I can't even let loose, and, you know, it pisses me off. It makes
and
me angry.
Who is this part of your mind that's telling you your feelings don't matter? Your feelings should take a back seat. Who's it mimicking?
My mom.
That's right. Your mom. And your mom taught you that your feelings, you feeling okay, is less important than being disruptive or, you know, her not being annoyed or overwhelmed. And right now, what's going on is there's this part of your mom or your part of your mind that is taking the form of your mom. And it's saying, essentially it's saying, John, you feeling okay right now is not important. What is important is that you sound smart and that you're taking the right amount of time to say things and that you're coming off well. How do you feel about this part of your mind that is mimicking your mom telling you that your feelings don't matter? Are you neutral about it?
No, I hate it.
Tell me about the anger you feel. It sounds like there's a lot of anger there about that.
You know, well, my heart's about to burst out of my chest right now, and the anxiety's turned up to about a 9. You know,
that's the anxiety. There's anger underneath the anxiety. See if you could allow yourself to feel this anger. This anger is legitimate. There's this part of your mind telling you you don't matter. There's this part of your mind telling you that you feeling okay doesn't mean shit, and that pleasing all these other people is more important. And there's a lot of rage toward this voice. See if you can allow yourself, give yourself permission to feel that rage.
I just want it to stop.
Right.
I hate
That's
it.
Right.
I hate it. I want it to stop. I want to be able to live a normal life and...
Good. See if you can allow yourself to feel this emotion in your body. You know what? I think that you have a tendency to deprioritize yourself, to tell yourself, this is more important than me, and this is more important than me, and this is more important than me. And you're walking around indifferent about the fact that your needs, your comfort is getting sent to the end of the line. That's the repression that Dr. Sarno talks about. You're walking around burying all this rage toward this mom in your head that's saying you don't matter. And what you just did for a brief instant was you got in touch with that rage and said, fuck off. Stop telling me I don't matter.
I'm just afraid if I'm like that, I'm going to freaking be a crazy loon, be angry all the time.
I know. That's the fear. That's the Incredible Hulk syndrome. If I allow myself to get in touch with the rage, I'm going to go around, you know, screaming at people or punching people out.
But my anxiety just went away.
You got it. All right. So what you did is, for a brief moment, you allowed yourself to get in touch with the feeling underneath, and you broke through that wall of anxiety. I think what you're doing all day, every day, is you're going around and you're giving yourself the message, or this part of your mind that's mimicking your mom. The mom in your head is giving you the message, you don't matter, you're not important, and you are just walking around bursting with rage that's getting stuffed down. And the rage is toward this voice that's saying, you don't matter, you're less important than getting to the office on time, than having other people like you, than sounding smart, right?
Yes.
That anger is justified, it's legitimate. That's your ticket to freedom.
Yeah, I guess my mom is always angry, and so I just try not to be her, you know?
Yeah, I think one of the things that your mom taught you, you were really double-teamed. I mean, your mom not only taught you that your feelings or your emotions or your comfort doesn't matter, but she also taught you that anger isn't okay. And so the way to really empower yourself, to take that power back, is to get angry at that voice in your head saying you need to be perfect, right? Like, well, we can start this call, and I might think in my mind, there's 20 people on the call. You need to sound smart. You need to sound articulate. And immediately I hear that voice, and I get angry at it. I think, how dare you? How dare you tell me that my comfort and my capacity to feel okay and happy in the moment is less important than sounding smart or being articulate or having other people think highly of me. And
okay,
it's allowing yourself to feel that anger. That's what's going to allow you to eventually learn to prioritize yourself. When you hear that voice saying, you feeling okay, your comfort, your emotions, your ability to feel happy in the moment is less important than X, Y, and Z. And you stand up for yourself and you say no, right? Like, just like you're standing up to that mom in your head, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to stand for this.
Right.
And no, what happened when you allowed yourself to feel that rage?
Well, the anxiety is probably a 3, you know, or 2. I mean, it's,
right.
I don't know, it felt good.
Can you see the relationship between your emotions and your symptoms?
Yes. Clearer than before, for sure.
Good. And can you see your relationship, the relationship between the way you treat yourself and these emotions?
Yes.
I mean, it's significant that when I asked you if you, you know, how you feel about the fact that you're deprioritizing yourself, you said, I'm kind of indifferent. It's bullshit. You weren't indifferent. You are angry about it because no one likes to, you know, be stuffed in the corner like they're not even there, like they don't even matter.
Right.
And what you were able to do was you were able to get in touch with the rage that you felt of being treated like a second-class citizen. When you get in touch with that, you empower yourself. This is essentially what self-esteem is, giving yourself the message that I matter, my needs matter.
Yeah, definitely felt good and something that I don't allow myself to do, I know, very often.
Good, good. So when I talked to you just a couple days ago in preparation for this call, and I was talking to you about the rage component, this is what I was talking about, right? Allowing yourself to actually feel the rage that the mom in your head or dad in your head or figure in your head from the past giving you the message that you don't matter And you standing up and say, yes, I do, and to hell with you, and stop sending me to the end of the line. Right, so what
exactly.
do you think you can do? How do you think you can take this going forward to help yourself feel better?
Well, I just think I need to feel that when my anxiety is going up, I think I can just check in with it, see why it's checking up, and then figure out what the voice is telling me and if it's, who it's coming from, or, you know, and be okay to get pissed off at it, you know, and just, you know, realize that it's not me that's saying that, and it's a voice in the from the past, or the voice of someone else that's holding me down, and, you know, just, I think, show that anger and not show it, I mean, in the safety of my own home, but feel it and then recognize it, because when I stuff it down, I just get anxious and I go 100 miles an hour and it doesn't work.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. That's the way that you actually learn to become your own protector, your own defender, the parent that you never had. And you're reparenting yourself. And what you do is every time you hear that voice saying, you don't matter, you stand up and you say, yes, I do. Get the hell out of here. How dare you tell me that my comfort is insignificant? And you become that, you know, protective older brother.
There'll be a lot of those conversations in a day. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Like every 3 minutes. But
you're going to have it a lot at first. But if you take that stance of self-love and self-protection and my feelings do matter, eventually it becomes your default after a while.
Okay.
You know, I think that at first you were indifferent because you didn't recognize what you were doing to yourself. But as soon as you did, you care about yourself. You love yourself enough to want to stand up for yourself. It's just a matter of recognizing when you're sending yourself to the end of the line or the bottom of the totem pole. Asking yourself, how do I feel about that? How do I feel about this mom in my head telling me I don't matter? And then checking in with that feeling and allowing yourself to empower yourself. All right?
Sounds great.
Good. Do you feel like you know what to do going forward? Do you feel like this is a tool that you can utilize on your own?
Yeah, I think I've got a couple tools. I can make sure that I'm breathing and checking in when I get going.
Good. Good. And you can listen to the recording of what we've talked about, and because it is being recorded, you could hear that in case you forget. And you know what's going to happen is you're listening to this recording, you're going to hear that mom in your head saying, oh, you didn't sound this enough or you didn't sound that enough, and that's just going to be another opportunity to stand up for yourself and say, hey, I have the capacity to feel okay right now. How dare you try to tell me that's more important than this, right?
Absolutely.
Good. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling up, John, and I really appreciate you making yourself as vulnerable as you did. I think it was a big help to a lot of people to hear someone do that.
Well, thank you. That wasn't planned on my end by any means, so it was definitely a surprise to me, but getting angry. So I appreciate it. Appreciate what you do for the wiki and everything else.
Sure thing. Okay, well, good luck. And keep me updated, okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye, John.